Book of Jeremiah. Beautiful song we just sang a few minutes ago. I called and you answered. As we pay attention to the message this morning, not the messenger, but the message, I want you to understand that here in a little while, we are going to have that opportunity for you to come down and call out to God. And I promise you, He'll answer. He always answers. It might not be what you want to hear. I'm going to be honest with you, 9 times out of 10, when I have a request from God, it's not what I want to hear, but it's what His desire is for my life. Amen? In the last few weeks, we've dealt with some issues that if we'll pay close attention, these issues will make us happier and more productive Christians. And I don't know about you, but I like being happier. I really do. I don't wake up in the morning and say, you know, I've been happy for 4 days. I think I'm going to be sad today. I like to be happy. I want to be more productive for Christ today than I was yesterday. You ever wake up or go to bed at night, and as you reflect on the day, you're kind of ashamed of yourself because you look at, see what you really did for God. Can I get a testimony here? I mean, and you realize, you know, I really didn't do as much as I should have. If we'll pay attention to these issues, and I hope you have the past 3 or 4 weeks, it'll help us to be happier and more productive Christians for the Lord. We learned just in short that 100% of us are all, unless Christ raptures His church, listen, we're going to die in our lifetime. We're all going to die. This death sentence, so to speak, should embolden our testimony to the world. We should be on fire, ready to go, ablazing to tell the world what Jesus has done for us. We learned that once we have died, that we're going to spend eternity somewhere, and where we are is where we'll always be. When you close your eyes in death, that's it. You can't, okay, well, I don't like it here, I'm going to go here. Well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go somewhere else. No, no. Where you are in eternity is where you will always be. We've also learned that being content with who you are and who God has created us to be will help us to be more productive for God. Now, this morning, I want us to understand that all of us are going to mess up. Now, I know Southern Baptists seem to think that they're perfect. We do. But listen, church, we're all going to mess up from time to time as we serve God. This morning, I want to ask this question. What do you do when you really blow it? I mean, you blow it. You really mess up. When we fail in our lives and we fail God, what do we do? What do we need to do? Well, I believe we can find an answer in Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah 18. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down at once to the potter's house. There I will reveal my words to you. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, working away at his wheel. But the jar that he was making from the clay became flawed in the potter's hands. So he made it into another jar, as it seemed right for him to do. The word of the Lord came to me, House of Israel, can I not treat you as this potter treats his clay? This is the Lord's declaration. Just like clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Now let's read that last sentence again. Just as clay in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. And one moment I might announce concerning a nation or kingdom that I will uproot, tear down, and destroy it. However, if there's that conditional two-letter word that I love so much that I always give emphasis to, if that nation I have made an announcement about turns from its evil, I will not bring disaster on it. We have an if and then. Y'all see it? Y'all see it just then? If they'll turn from it, I won't bring disaster on it. I had planned. At another time, I announced that I will build and plant a nation or a kingdom. However, if, there it is again, if it does what is evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, I will bring the good that I had, that I said I would, due to it. So now, say to the men of Judah and to the residents of Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. I am about to bring harm to you and make plans against you. Turn tomorrow. Turn next year. Is that what y'all's scripture says? No, it says turn now. Right now, turn now, each from your evil way, and correct your ways and your deeds. But they will say, it's hopeless. We'll continue to follow our plans, and each of us will continue to act according to the stubbornness of his own heart. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And God, we pray that you would just wake us and shake us right now. I pray that you would still us. Help us, Lord, to be still for these next few minutes as we hear from you. God, I pray that you'd hide me, and I pray that you would be exalted. I pray that everything that is heard today won't be heard from me, but it'll be a clear word from you. God, help us right now to listen to what you have to say. In Christ Jesus' name we do pray, and all God's children said, amen. Amen. As we just looked at Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1 through 12, we saw the spiritual condition of the Hebrew children was not so great. As we look through the Old Testament, you know, Wednesday night crowd, how many prophetical books do we have in the Old Testament? How many? Prophetical books. 17. 17 prophetical books in the Old Testament. Were these all the prophets, or were there other prophets? Oh yeah, there were many other prophets as well. Time and time and time and time again, God brought prophets on the scene to open the eyes of the Hebrew children. You know, why did God have to send so many? I guess because they were stubborn. They didn't want to listen. They wanted to do what they wanted to do, how they wanted to do. They didn't want to listen to the voice of God. So God sent them time and time again, warning after warning. Now, as we look at the spiritual condition, I want us to see first. As we know, Jeremiah was considered the weeping prophet. As we look at this book, he was considered the weeping prophet. God told him not to marry, that his life would be filled with many sorrows, and it was. How would you like for God to come and speak to you? Now, I mean, that'd be a wonderful thing. But Joe, when he comes and he whispers to your ear, he listens, says, listen, you don't need to marry. Now, as I was growing up, I mean, every girl that I passed, you know, I was like, I wonder if that's her. I wonder if that's her. I wonder if that's her. Until I saw my wife, and I was like, yep, that's her. But, you know, I wanted to be married. There was never a time in my life that I didn't, you know, I was ready to be married. I think I could have gotten married straight out of high school and I'd have been fine. Alex, that's not an option. I'm just saying, you know, this is sermon illustration, okay? I would have been fine with that. But for God to tell Jeremiah, do not marry, because your life is going to be full of sorrows. Full of sorrows. That's a horrible announcement, and a horrible thing to know throughout your life, that you're not only going to have sorrows, but you're not going to be able to have anybody to share those sorrows with. The Hebrew children, as we look at them as well, the Hebrew children would not listen to the very vivid and condemning prophecies Jeremiah was proclaiming to them. They ridiculed him. They beat him, and they made him an outcast among his own people. Listen to me, church. The Hebrew children, they blew it. They blew it. They failed. As a matter of fact, if you look at commentaries, scholars will tell you that before Jeremiah even started prophesying, God had already told him, said, listen, they're not going to listen to you, but you're going to prophesy anyway. You're going to prophesy. They're not going to turn, but you're going to prophesy anyway. Boy, I'm going to tell you, as you look forward to a new ministry, When I came to Chevis Oaks Baptist Church, I didn't come here, Keith, and think, boy, I can't wait to just jump into a bowl of contention. I can't wait until something gets stirred up in the church and I have to take care of it. I can't wait until the people turn on me and stab me in the back. That's never happened. It ain't going to happen, right? Okay. I just can't wait. But can you imagine Jeremiah, Gary, as he's heading into his ministry and he says, you know, I'm never going to be successful in the ministry. Boy, you have a lot to get up and go for in the morning, don't you? God's told you it's never going to be successful. They're not going to listen, but you're going to prophesy anyway. The Hebrew children blew it.
The Hebrew children at this point were on a spiritual roller coaster. When they found themselves in deep trouble, listen to me, y'all see if this is where y'all are, okay? When they found themselves in deep trouble, when they were at their lowest low, when they were at their very point, to the very point of captivity, they would turn to God for a short period of time and then go right back to worshiping idols once God delivered them. They would say, oh God, please, we know that we've done wrong. Hey, listen, so do all y'all. You do. Honestly, if you were brought up in the church, and really, you don't even have to be brought up in the church. You know when you're doing right and when you're doing wrong. Nobody has to tell you. You know, people. If people love you, they'll tell you, hey, listen, what you're doing is wrong. Right? They will. They don't do it out of mean. Well, some people do, but, I mean, people you love shouldn't do it. They do it out of love. They had been warned time and time and time and time and time again. They would come back to God for a short period of time, and then they would turn around and they'd go the other way, worshiping idols. God had told them, don't do this, many times. Not only that, listen to this. The northern kingdom of Israel, at this point in time in Scripture, had already been taken into Babylonian captivity. This should have served as an adequate warning to Judah in the south, but it didn't. As we look at the book of Jeremiah, the northern kingdom of Israel had already been taken into captivity. Do you know why? The same thing God was warning the southern kingdom over. Idol worship. Turning themselves from God, not listening to God, not following to God. It was right. They couldn't, Miss Shirley, they couldn't look and say, oh, God won't do that. He loves us. He would never do that. They had a living example right in front of their face, right across the border, that yes, God would do that, but it didn't change their mind. It didn't. These people knew what God was going to do to them if they did not turn back to God. And listen to me, church, listen. They didn't care. Can you imagine? Can you imagine knowing that what you are doing is wrong? God warning you, God bringing people into your life and saying, listen, don't do that. You're going down the wrong road. Don't do this. And you look at them and look at God and say, I don't care. Does that ever happen? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, more often than not. As you read through the book of Jeremiah, it seems that the weight of the world is on Jeremiah's shoulders. And how could it not be? And as we come to chapter 18, God seems to pull Jeremiah close to himself and explain what is going on and what it'll take to fix the problem. Now, God knows they're not going to turn. He said, but you know, I want to explain this to you, Jeremiah. Go down to the potter's house. I want you to see a parable. I want you to understand what's taking place. And God uses the parable of the potter to help Jeremiah understand what's going on. So, what did Jeremiah learn at the potter's house? The scripture that we just read. What did he learn? What could he learn? Well, number one, this. God is the potter and we're the clay. God is the potter and we are the clay. What does this mean? It's not that hard. It's not. It's so simple that Donald could understand. Where's Donald? Donald could understand this. He probably, I mean, he could, couldn't he? Couldn't he? Deborah, he could, I'm telling you. What does it mean? Number one, God molds us into what He wants us to be. Y'all with me? So far, y'all with me? God molds us into what He wants us to be. We will never, listen, never, never be happier in our life than when we're doing what God has created us to do. Now, I capitalized this and gave emphasis to it. Listen to me. Never, never. We'll never be happier in our lives than when we're doing what God created us to do. A potter makes many objects that may have many different uses. Each one has a purpose that the potter desires. This past week, I went to Alex's school and I walked into the pottery room. Alex is a potter. He's very good. And as I walked into the pottery room, is that the right word? Is that what y'all call it, the pottery room? The ceramics room. Okay, my bad. You walk in this room, and as soon as you walk in, there's wheels right there in front of you. There's not, you know, classroom tables. And as the far right of the room are these high shelves all the way up to the ceiling. And as you look on the shelves, there's all kinds of pottery that is drying. Okay? Once you mold it, you can throw a bag over it, I guess to keep things off of it. And you can't do anything with it until all the moisture's out of it. You can't fire it. Okay? Because if you wait, if you don't get all the moisture out of it, you throw it in the fire, the furnace too soon, guess what it'll do? It'll crack. Nobody wants a cracked pot. Y'all hear me? So I walked in and I'm looking at all this pottery from all the classes that have been in there. And, there's all kinds of different creations in there. And there's bowls. Potters make bowls. And cups. And vases. And they make serving bowls. They make coffee cups. I mean, there's all different things along this wall. And as I'm up there and I'm looking, I'm thinking, okay, this guy, I don't know who he is, but they're good. You know, this guy or girl, because girls can make pottery too. Y'all know that, right? And I'm looking, I'm thinking, this kid don't need to be in the class. And I'm trying to figure out what is this and what is this? And some of this stuff is just like, where in the world did this come from? I mean, it was like, you know, I can make a good snowman. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And I remember, and Alex, I don't think I've ever shown you this. I don't even know if my mom has it anymore. But when I was in the eighth grade, I made my mother a pencil holder. I did. It was about this tall, Gary, and it had a cover over the top. And, I mean, it looked like a perfect cylinder. Well, not a perfect, but, you know, it was a cylinder. And then I put a lid on it, and then I cut a center out of the top. And it was perfect. She had that dude sitting right beside the telephone. You know, we used to have a house telephone, you know, that you dialed. And it was sitting right there beside it with a pad, and we could just grab our pens. It had a use. It was perfect. She loved it. My mother loved it. I think she did anyway. But I made that. I decided to make that. Listen, God molds us into what He wants us to be. When we're in the potter's hands, we are where we should be. We're exactly where we should be. There's no better place to be than the potter's hands, because He makes you into what He wants you to be. Something useful and something that has purpose. Y'all with me? It's going to get better. Hold on. Now listen. Clay can become marred. Did y'all know that? I had this message done before I went Friday night to the Mr. Bobcat competition, which Alex won. Mr. Bobcat's here this morning, y'all. But Alex's talent was he had the potter's wheel out there and he made a vase. And as his performance started, he just had a raw piece of clay, and I'd never seen him do this before, and he threw just poof. Put it right there on the potter's wheel, and he got the speed right and got his hands wet, and he started molding this piece of clay. And I didn't understand. I mean, I'd seen, you know, talked about where the clay is marred or what happens when the clay is marred, but something actually happened in Alex's performance, and it scared us to death, because they've got, you know, you mess up, you got to start over, right? As he's molding this, we can see the vase forming right before our eyes. And then Amy looked and I looked, and there was a lump in the bottom, and I was like, oh, my gosh. And the vase started going, boop, 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 boop. I was like, oh, this is not going to end well. And then he started taking his hands and pressing the sides. I couldn't do this when I was making my pencil holder, okay? It just wasn't happening. But he took his hand on the inside and on the outside, and he started, you know, just applying pressure and molding and squeezing that, you know, that. And the piece of marred clay that was in there, that lump, just became smooth. You see, in my hands, it's going to mess up. But in the potter's hands, even something that is marred, something that is a blemish, something that's going to cause problems. In the potter's hands, it can become absolutely beautiful. Now, when the potter sits down, understand this. When he sits down at his wheel, 9 times out of 10, he has some idea what he wants to mold from the clay. But during the process, as he's molding his hands hit that marred spot, and it's going to warp the wet clay, and the potter will have to make a new plan for his object. So if he's sitting there molding it, and at the top starts to mar, and it starts to bend, or there's something hard in the top part, he might stop the wheel and cut the top part off, Alex, and cut the top part off, and work with what he's got left. Y'all with me? Interesting fact about what potters and clay can do. If a potter makes an object on the wheel, and he takes it and he puts it up on the shelf, and as the drying process is taking place, if something happens to it and he just doesn't like it, or if some person who doesn't know what they're doing walks in there and touches something that's still wet accidentally and leaves fingerprints all in the, you know, clay, and it's not really their fault because they didn't know any better. When they notice the fingers in it, you know what they can do? They can take this pot and they can put it in the pot bin, a bin with water in it. Before it's fired now, they'll just throw it in the bin. Guess what happens to the clay? It goes back to its original form. Later on, they can use that clay again to make something new. Am I right? It's clay bin, I think I've heard you call it. Clay bin. Now, the second thing that Jeremiah tells us that he learned at the potter's house is this. He learned at the potter's house was the house of Israel, that Israel was the clay, and the clay had a flaw. The clay had a flaw, Brother Frank. It had a serious flaw. But God gave a remedy. I love God because He always gives us a remedy. Even in our flawed states, God gives us a remedy. And He gave them a remedy as well. Look at verse 8 with me real quick. Verse 8, He says, "However, if that nation I have made an announcement about turns from its evil, I will not bring disaster on it that I had planned." Here again, I love this because it's easy, Bob. I mean, Bob, you understand, right? Here it is. If what you are doing you know is wrong, you know it's wrong because God lets you know it's wrong. God will always bring people in your life to let you know, hey, listen, what you're doing is wrong. If you will turn from this lifestyle, this way, and come back to God, God won't bring disaster on you. I don't know about you, but I don't like disaster. I really don't. My wife will tell you, I don't like arguing, do I? I had enough of that when I was growing up. Honestly, Keith, this is my, and some of y'all might laugh at me, Amy and I can have a knockdown drag out when she's wrong and I'm right, and that's how it is. I mean, I can spit and holler and I can Christian cuss. Y'all know what that is, slamming cabinets in your kitchen, slamming the door. I can be so mad and red-faced, and 15 minutes later, I'm done. Honey, you want us to go get something to eat? You shut your mouth. She's not done. But I'm done. Gary, I'm done. I'm ready to make up. I'm ready to hold hands and tiptoe through the tulips, and I'm done. It takes her about 2 or 3 days, maybe. Who said that? Oh, well. But I'm done. I don't like contention. I like the easy way. When I know that I've done something wrong, I'm ready to get it. You know, you do confess it, get over it, and get on with the good stuff. I don't like it. Y'all, did y'all hear what God said? He gave you a remedy. If you know what you're doing's wrong, if you'll turn from it and turn back to me, I will spare you. I will sacrifice you from having to go through the hard times. How much easier can it be? Come to me. Turn back. Don't do this anymore. Come back to me. I don't know how it can be any easier. What I've learned, and we all can learn from this parable. Y'all ready? This is deep theology here. This is what I've learned, Steve. I'm not the potter. I'm not the potter. I'm really not. Bob, I'm not the potter. You know what that means? I don't know what's best for my life. I don't. I'm so sick and tired of snot-nosed little kids saying, I know what's best for my life. I know what's best for me. I'm grown. No, you're not. I'm an adult now. Why are you acting like a kid? Why are you acting like a child? Whoosh. I mean, aren't y'all tired of that? I don't know what's best for my life. I'm 43 years old. And I'm going to tell y'all, I'm not the potter. I don't know what's best for my life. But guess who does? The potter. God. So here again, all I have to do is listen to God. All I have to do is shut myself up and be still and listen to God, and I'm in a better place. And Bob, if I'll do that, God says, listen, I'll sacrifice you from a lot of suffering if you'll just listen to me. If you'll follow me, that's pretty good. I mean, that's deep, isn't it, Gary? That's easy. Miss Porter, is that not easy? It really is. Listen, here's another one. I can't really relate with the potter. I can't. Because I'm not good at, you know, making pottery, but I'm not great at, you know, molding people's lives. I try to do my best according to Scripture, but God's way better than I am. I can't really relate with the potter. I, church, can relate with the clay because I've messed up more times than once, and God has always picked me up and set me on the wheel and remolded me. Isn't that beautiful? Always. But see, I can't still stand here in my defiance and say, yeah, I know I'm doing this. I know I'm doing that. God, you know, I know you want me to come back to you. He's not going to mold you, remold you, and make you what he wants you to be over here. You have to cross the line and come back to him. You have to. You have to admit it. You have to confess it. You have to come back to God. Now, I can't really relate with the potter. I can relate with the clay, and I can most definitely relate to Jeremiah. What more did the Hebrew children need to see that they would turn back to the potter? That they would admit that they were broken and need to be fixed? What more? They were on the threshold of destruction and they wouldn't return to God. Would not. How many more warnings did they need to receive? How many more times were they going to have to face consequences of their own making, before they turn back to God? Well, the truth here is, church, as we look in this book from the weeping prophet, the truth is that the Hebrew children would not turn back to God, and the southern portion would soon be taken into Babylonian captivity. But it didn't have to be. It did not have to be. All they had to do was listen. It's like Kenny. All Kenny has to do is listen. He'll stay out of trouble, won't he? He really will. And you'll cook him dinner every night if he'll just listen to you, won't you? Cynthia's not saying a word back there, Kenny. She's tight-lipped. Kenny told me the other day he hides all Christmas presents and birthday presents for Sydney, Cynthia, in the oven. She never finds them. Listen, all we have to do is listen, church. It's not that hard. Can I tell you that some of you right now are heading towards captivity? And you know it. You know it. But you will not turn back to God. You know you're heading towards trouble because you won't listen to God. You know it. God's told you. But you won't listen. God has warned some of you many times through His Word, through other people, maybe through the preacher preaching. And you know you need to return to Him. Why do you continue to wait? What are you waiting for? You know you need to turn back to God. I guarantee there is someone here who will admit to yourself that you are not what you are, what God created you to be, and you need God to remold you and remake you. What are you waiting on? This morning, will you come down here and lay yourself at the feet of the potter? Will you lay yourself at the feet of the potter? I've tried every way, and I want to try the easiest way I possibly can to illustrate this message. Can I try one more time? Can I try? Listen, this message is pretty easy. God has taken all of us, and He's used a raw piece of clay. This is a piece of clay in its rawest form. He can use this piece of clay. A potter can use a piece of clay, and he can make whatever he wants to out of it. I mean, it has limitless possibilities. It can be absolutely beautiful, magnificent, or it can be unbelievably unuseful and unproductive. God, as He looks at our lives, He wants to make something absolutely beautiful and productive out of each one of us. Look at this. Isn't that beautiful? I made that. No, I didn't. Alex made that. He wants us to have something beautiful, make something beautiful and productive out of our lives. A piece of clay. I mean, look, this started with this. Isn't God amazing? This made this. It has to go through steps and processes and heat and fire to become this, but this became this, a piece of clay. Now listen, we can be something beautiful from the potter's hands. Can I show you, you know what happens when we get into it? When we try to figure out what's best for our lives and we don't listen to the potter? A piece of clay can be something beautiful like this. Or something like this. Not much use for that, is there? You know, when your child comes home and he brings you, I've been doing pottery for 6 months. I want to see something. Can it get any clearer, church? God wants to do something beautiful with your life. If you will get out of it, this is what He wants to do. The more you stay in it, in the equation, this is what it's going to be. Some of y'all say, oh, that's so cute. That's scary to me. I want this. I don't want this. It's all up to you. This morning, I want to ask you, will you come back to God? Some of you need to come down and say, God, I just need you to reform me. Need you to remold me, remake me. I've blown it. I know where I am. I know where I want to be. I know where you want me to be. And I know we need to get back on the right track. Some of you have strayed so far away from God, you just need to get on your face and say, God, I need, just take me and throw me in the recycle bin. Let your waters just saturate me and start all over. I don't know, but you do. Let's all pray. Father, we love you and we praise you. God, open our eyes right now. Help us to see what you see. Lord, help us to fall in love with you and to know that we are facing unbelievably sorrowful times, God, if we don't turn back to you. God, we need you more than we realize. Help us, Lord, to see this morning before we make a wreck of our lives. In Christ's name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, will you stand? If you need to come this morning, the altar is open.